This is the Breaker.News podcast for the week of August 20th, 2023. I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. Welcome to edition number 304. The Breaker is your source for news, opinion, and analysis about British Columbia issues, institutions, and influencers. Later, I'll tell you how you can support The Breaker. On this edition, headlines from the Pacific Rim and the Pacific Northwest. I award a virtual Nanaimo bar to a difference maker. And on the big deal feature, it's time again for the PNE Fair, the 113th edition of the fair. I'll talk to one of the biggest fans of Vancouver's summertime tradition at Hastings Park. Is it just me, or are Maui, Yellowknife, and Kelowna the warnings to do better to keep people and places safe? This is a long, hot, tragic summer. And stop me if you've heard this one before, but communities were warned about a changing climate, and they weren't ready when a natural disaster finally came. Blame that on the politicians who pontificated and hiked taxes because it was fashionable. But enough of that for now. There will be time to analyze and debate later. Now is the time to rescue, to show true human resolve. Here is Cliff Chapman, the director of Wildfire Here is Cliff Chapman, the director of wildfire operations for the BC Wildfire Service, the day after the heat wave gave way to a cold front that led to the Kelowna wildfires.
And so when we say extreme, it is fast moving fire. We're seeing runs. We saw runs yesterday in the neighborhood of 10 to 12 kilometers with the winds. We're expecting similar, if not stronger, winds today, although it is a little bit lighter in temperature. As I showed in the presentation with that first picture, the flame heights on our fires are in excess of 400 to 500 feet. There is very little that response tactics can do with these winds and that type of fire behavior. When I say extreme, what it means is that they are moving faster than we can effectively put firefighting resources on them, and obviously making their way towards critical infrastructure and communities.
Here is Bowen Ma, the British Columbia Minister of Emergency Management and Climate Readiness, midday on August 18th.
So a lot of the tools that we are actively using that we need in our response to wildfire and to support evacuees are already available, and that we haven't had to execute a formal declaration on a state of provincial emergency yet means that our regularly available legislative tools are robust. And that is a good thing, because we see wildfires every summer. But if we get to the place where we need to access tools that are not available there, and that might be, for instance, formal travel restrictions beyond what BC Wildfire Service and the Ministry of Transportation and Infrastructure can implement legally on their own, that is an example of where we might go have to go to a state of provincial emergency.
However, in less than 5 hours, Premier David Eby overruled Minister Ma and declared a state of emergency because of the wildfires.
That right now, we are facing the worst wildfire season in our province's history. This unprecedented situation has come to a head this evening. In just the last 24 hours, the situation has evolved and deteriorated quite rapidly. In just the last hour, we've gone from about 4,500 homes under evacuation to about 15,000 homes, families being evacuated from their homes across the province. We have tens of thousands more across the province on evacuation alert. Tonight, as a result of this rapid deterioration, we are declaring a provincial state of emergency to ensure that we have rapid access to any tools that we may need to respond to this situation. And these tools are necessary to support communities, to support families, and support those brave frontline workers who are battling the fires in our forests and in our communities.
What do you think? Email Bob at thebreaker.news. This is the Big Deal feature on the Breaker.News podcast. The 113th annual PNE Fair is on now through Labor Day. Hastings Park in Vancouver is back to full strength after 3 years of reduced operations and reduced capacity during the pandemic. At the amphitheater, you'll see Aqua, Billy Idol, Doug and the Slugs with the Vancouver Symphony, Blue Rodeo, and more. There will be a tribute to the late Red Robinson on August 31st. Throughout the fair, there is the 4-H Festival. You can ride the new P&E Express train. There's the immersive Monet exhibit. And, of course, Super Dogs. And Playland Rides and the Midway. Mir Husilak, who is the honorary consul for Ukraine in Vancouver, has seen most of the P&E fairs. He's gone every year for the last 74 years. P&E President Shelley Frost recognized Husilak's longevity before the fair opened. I caught up with Mir Husilak at the August 17th Media Preview Day.
Talk about the P&E and I guess your love affair with the P&E.
Yes, when I came from a displaced persons camp in Germany in 1948, I attended my first fair in 49, and for me it was so exciting because I'd never seen anything like this during the war. Of course, I was young. And the first day I came, I just fell in love with the P&E. I got hooked. So every year since then, I've been coming back to the P&E and enjoying it. They have so many different things, sounds, smells, attractions, and exhibits. Some of them are quite interesting, like the intellectual exhibits. And this is where the boat show started, the car show started, the home show started. So it was very, very exciting, and I enjoyed the rides when I was younger, and I still have gone on the rides in the last 2 years, so not the roller coaster, but I think I might try it this year again.
What was your first impression the first day? Remember what you ate, what you saw?
No, I don't remember what I ate, but I saw all these neon colors, which we didn't see in Germany when I was there, and all the food, exciting ice cream, and everything, basically. I really enjoyed the fair, and I remember in 1954 when they had John Landy and Roger Bannister, I was serving pop at the Empire Stadium and had a good look at the race, so that was very exciting. And all kinds of other things. Every year I come with something different. Like, for instance, this year will be the Monet exhibit, so that I'm looking forward to that. And I think I've got a Monet book at home. I'm going to study it before I come.
So you were there that day, August 7th, 1954, at Empire Stadium.
Yes.
That was one of the biggest sporting events before the Olympics here in Vancouver. But
yes.
Did you know how significant that was at the time, the day you were there?
Not really. No, I didn't realize that it was that significant. Now, of course, I do. And I also got hooked on the Expo 86. I went there every day, almost sometimes two times or three times a day, because I live close by. And I really enjoyed that. So somehow I'm hooked on fairs and exhibits and so on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Expo came and went, of course, but the P&E has endured. What has been the biggest change since 1949 that you've experienced here? The biggest change, biggest evolution?
Well, I think that the fact that they tore down some buildings and put a park up. Other than that, there hasn't been that much change. The different exhibits, different adventures and so on, but not that much change. It's basically the same, but it's always exciting.
Is there one certain exhibit or performer that stands out in your mind that that you're glad you saw, or is there one that you regret not seeing? What about both of those categories?
I can't really think of anything, because I enjoy everything. Mm-hmm. I like life to the fullest, and I enjoy watching everything that's going on around here.
over the years, they used to have the gondolas that went across the site. That was one thing I remember from when I was growing up in the 1970s. You could see the site from a different angle. Unfortunately, those are gone. But yeah. Is there something that you wish they could bring back like that, that stands out in your mind?
No, I can't think of anything now. But in 1992, Ukraine used the forum as a feature building, and that was quite exciting for me, because I worked at that building for 17 days of the fair, so that stands out in my mind.
Mm-hmm. Are you able to bring the people that are now living in Canada since March 2022 that have moved here, either temporarily or permanently, to get away from the war? Are they coming here? Are you finding ways to get them here to enjoy it just as you did, to experience Vancouver and get their minds off the situation back home?
No, we've publicized the P&E. We haven't done anything special to bring them here, but I'm sure a lot of them will come here with their children.
What do you remember of the original site or the site before? Which building do you miss, for instance, or which?
I don't really miss any of the buildings, because there's still a lot here. Mm-hmm. There's the forum, the garden auditorium, and so on. I really like the shows in the garden and auditorium sometimes, especially the young kids when they do their acrobatics. And the horses, horse shows. I like the barns, watching the animals and seeing, because this was an agricultural fair to start with.
Mm-hmm.
So I enjoy that and the smells and sights there.
Mm-hmm. To what rides have you gone on in the past?
Well, of course, the roller coaster. Mm-hmm. As I said, I probably will try it again this year. I like the one that goes up and then falls down. I don't remember the name of it, but I enjoy that one very much. And I like the old roller coaster, the metal roller coaster. That's gone, and I miss that. And of course, I like to do a little gambling, so the various things like pulling up the bottle and so on. I was pretty good at that. So I don't know if I am going to be good at it now, but certainly going to try that.
What's the best prize that you've won over the years?
Huge panda bear.
Oh, how big was it?
It was hard to carry home. It's almost as big as me.
Since you've gambled, you must have bought prize home ticket over the years.
Yes, every year I buy it, but mm-hmm. no luck. A friend of mine won the P&E home one year.
Oh, really? Do you remember which year and which neighborhood the home was in?
I think the home was in Burnaby, and it was probably in the 50s. He's long gone, but yes, that was very exciting at that time, knowing someone that won the P&E home.
More serious issue, how are things going with coordinating relief here in Vancouver for people to send relief to Ukraine, as well as to help out in bringing refugees here? How is that going right now here as we are in August 2023?
It's slowed down. People are slowly losing interest, and I hope that interest is revived. We're going to try to revive that interest in people. And the displaced Ukrainians, they're still coming. And it's pretty hard for them because there's very little accommodations. So people are taking some of them in to their homes, but that's dried up almost to a trickle now.
That's sorry to hear. Are there any ideas that you're going to put in play to try to turn that around, to try to bring that attention back to people? Because unfortunately, this war has gone on that long, but the spirit of the Ukrainian people that we know of is quite strong.
That's something the Ukrainian-Canadian Congress is working on, and local, the Vancouver one and the BC Congresses are working on that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What would you say to people about the PNE? Why, if they haven't been to the PNE before, maybe if they're new to Vancouver, or if they're getting out of town, wherever they are, because they've been staying close to home during the pandemic, what is your selling point for the PNE?
Come and see it. It's exciting, exciting, exciting. Smells, sounds, tastes. There's so much to do here. You can spend 3 days easily, but at least come for one day.
That was Mir Husalak, PNE Fair fan and honorary consul for Ukraine in Vancouver. Go to pne.ca for information on this year's fair. What do you think? Email Bob at thebreaker.news. News podcast for Around the Rim. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Rim. In the Taiwan news, Taiwan's Foxconn begins iPhone 15 assembly in India. Apple looking to diversify assembly amid continued geopolitical tensions between Washington and Beijing. The Foxconn plant in the state of Tamil Nadu is preparing to ship the iPhone 15 only weeks after they start to be delivered from facilities in China. Prior to the iPhone 14, Apple only assembled a small percentage of its phones in India, which trailed China's output by 6 to 9 months. In the Hong Kong Free Press, national security trial of Hong Kong media mogul Jimmy Lai to be delayed again to December. The trial involving Apple Daily founder Jimmy Lai delayed to ensure that one of Hong Kong's hand-picked national security judges would have finished presiding over another landmark national security case involving 47 Democrats. Lai was first arrested under the national security law in August 2020, a little over a month after the sweeping legislation came into force on June 30th that year. He was formally charged in December 2020 and has been detained since then. In ABC News Australia, Victoria reaches $380 million Commonwealth Games compensation settlement after pulling out as 2026 host. In July, Premier Daniel Andrews announced Victoria would no longer host the Games due to spiraling costs. The costing documents revealed the government could not find enough land to meet the Commonwealth Games Federation's strict requirements on the location of the athletes' villages and was, instead, considering temporary structures. That's Around the Rim on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast.
News podcast for Cascadia Calling. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Northwest.
In the Oregonian, fourth person dies in Portland heat wave. The first person died Monday in southeast Portland when the temperatures reached 106 degrees Fahrenheit or 41 degrees Celsius. The next day, an unnamed Portland hospital reported that another person had died when the temperature was 102. A third person was found dead Wednesday in northeast Portland when the temperature was about 102. Five people died from exposure to heat last summer when temperatures soared into the 90s and above for 8 consecutive days in July 2022 and in several shorter stretches in August. In King 5, From Capture to Death, a timeline of Tokatae's tragic journey. 53 years and 10 days after Tokatae was captured from Puget Sound, Southern resident Orca Tokatae died in captivity at the Miami Seaquarium. She was the last surviving orca of the killer whales that were captured from Puget Sound and sold into captivity. In early May, a joint report between the Miami Seaquarium and Friends of Lolita announced that Tokatae was in good condition and that plans to relocate her were moving forward, but the move needed federal approval to proceed. In the Times Colonist, repairs to BC Ferry's coastal renaissance could take weeks, not days. Several sailings were canceled Thursday after coastal renaissance was pulled out of service. BC Ferries is trying to provide slots on other sailings for people with reservations, but it will not be possible for everybody. A failure of the number 2 drive motor led to several sailing cancellations through Thursday between Duke Point and Tsawwassen, when the vessel was replaced by the smaller Queen of Alberni. BC Ferries operates 37 vessels on 25 routes. That's Cascadia Calling on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast. It don't matter what color you are, cause love will conquer hate.
Virtual Nanaimo Bar, brought to you by Spruce Hill Contracting.
Every week we end the Breaker.News podcast on a tasty note by awarding the goodness of a virtual Nanaimo Bar to people making a difference. A virtual version of the province's favorite dessert bar goes this week to all of those who came to British Columbia for freedom, people who fled from totalitarian regimes around the world. August 23rd is Black Ribbon Day, the day of remembrance for victims of communism and Nazism in Europe. You can nominate someone for a virtual Nanaimo Bar. Send me an email to bob@thebreaker.news. Spruce Hill Contracting, custom homes and renovations. Find more information at sprucehill.ca. That's it for the Breaker.News podcast for the week of August 20th, 2023. I'm Bob Mackin. Thanks for joining me. Did you know that on the 20th of August in 1998, 25 years ago, the Supreme Court of Canada ruled that Quebec could not leave Canada without the federal government's approval? Now you know. Send me your feedback. Send me your story ideas to bob@thebreaker.news. Bookmark thebreaker.news. You can also find us at thebreaker.ca. Sign up for the email newsletter and get updates to your inbox. For news as it happens, follow The Breaker News on Twitter and visit TheBreaker.News on Facebook, although maybe not now because of the C-18 controversy. But you can support The Breaker for as little as $2 a month. So for more information, go to patreon.com/TheBreakerNews. That's P-A-T-R-E-O-N.com/TheBreakerNews. Until next week.